Welcome to Big Head Mode. Tonight on the show, we're going to be talking about Batman Arkham Knight, Elder Scrolls Online on the console, of course. We're going to be talking about Lego Jurassic World, and joining me to do it, Tegan Jones from Geek Bomb and Simon Wombat Cragen. Guys, thanks for coming on.
Hey, hey.
Oh, hey.
You excited to talk about all of those games I just mentioned?
I've definitely played them all. So yeah.
I can tell. You got just pages and pages of notes on those games.
Looking through walkthroughs and stuff.
Well, look, that's all coming up on Big Head Mode. Stick around. That is the name of the show. This is 2RRR's one and only gaming show, and we're here to talk about games right at you. Coming fast, right off the bat, Tegan.
Yeah, man.
What are you playing?
I'm playing so much at the moment. So I got a little bit of Arkham Knight in this afternoon.
Nice.
Or as I call it, GTA Arkham, because all you do is go around the fucking Batmobile.
Like, all the reviews bag on the Batmobile. I freaking love it. It is so rad.
Yeah, it is. Not for like 4 hours in a row, though.
I love it. Like, there's this awesome feeling when you're like gliding high, high above the city, and you hold down left bumper, which is your call the Batmobile button. And Batman just aims at the ground and just glides straight down. And you can see the Batmobile coming sort of around the corner, just queuing up right underneath you. Slam straight into it, like skid, turn face the way you want to go. And then it's like, all right, let's roll. It's awesome.
That sounds like one of those tiny little slices of gameplay that makes the entire game worth it. Like Assassin's Creed boarding another ship in Black Flag.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's just those tiny little sort of action movie moments that they simulate. It's like if a game... It's like if Call of Duty, like the next game, just simulated that perfect feeling that comes with kicking down a door. Then I'd forgive all the other tedious gameplay that hasn't innovated, because I'd just be like, I've got my door kicking simulator. I can't do this
in any
other game.
This sucker.
Yeah.
It's great if you're not playing on PC, basically.
Ooh, yeah. Look, yeah. Let's get to that in the news segment, but that's not good for poor old Rocksteady.
Mm.
I don't think they're feeling so Rocksteady now.
Well, apparently they didn't do the port though, so I don't think Rocksteady actually did the port for it. Yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll get to that in a little bit. Simon, what have you been playing?
I've been grinding away on Elder Scrolls Online. The biggest one I've been playing lately.
Being the operative word for Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, I guess it's the first MMO I've played in a long time, and I'm sort of having flashbacks is the reason I sort of left them, being like, I feel like it'd be such a better single player game, because they could like actually make things look nice and have some story that'd be interesting, but I'm not digging it at all, sorry.
Well, if you want to dig it, you should probably invest a good 20 hours into digging skill tree.
Collecting roots. I'm a bloody good woodworker, but I am not so good at the foraging.
Yeah. There is a lot of foraging to do in that game.
Yeah.
I've killed, like, probably hundreds and hundreds of those peaceful netch creatures that just float around Morrowind just to harvest their leather. Just so that I can try new styles. And then go, oh, no, don't know about that one.
Don't know about that.
Don't know.
Give it to Bardia.
Or just sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
Dismantle it.
Yeah.
What a tragic waste of virtual life.
I am enjoying, like, the exploring of the game. It's so big. I probably can't give a proper review of it until I've seen more than one country, I guess.
I keep saying it to, especially because Carlo was so stroppy when we first played it with him about playing it. Because, I mean, we sort of had to pull him away from his Witcher playthrough. And Witcher, which is this huge, detailed world, to Elder Scrolls Online, which is a bigger world than Witcher, probably, but not as detailed.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And
There's no Gwent in Elder Scrolls,
so... Yeah, that's right. Well, so where's the in-game card game in this?
Guys, just the casino.
there's no casino in this one? I'm just going to hang the back on this one, I think, guys.
This is why Colin needs two monitors, because he can have Gwent going on one, yes, one hand, right, and then he can just be collecting his jute and his
But that's
his
the thing, plant. Isn't it, though? Like, you could genuinely do that with Elder Scrolls Online. I've just been so disengaged with it. It's sort of...
We've got to get more multiplayer sessions in.
I know,
every time
but
we've done it, multiplayer
the multiplayer
session.
Is even not that, like... Not that thrilling, I don't think. Like, there's no real way to link your quests together. Like, there's sort of...
Not with that attitude, Simon.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's it. And, like, when you're doing it, like, you're playing, and you're like, okay, guys, we've got to go collect the head of Zarklong, and Barty is off collecting jute, and Carlo's just standing at a woodwork station, just like, how do you deconstruct things? And, yeah, it's... God knows where I am.
Up a volcano.
Yeah, you're just... I don't know.
I'm probably waiting somewhere for you guys to come around the corner with my loot, just so that I can be...
That's right.
You guys are probably
juggling fire.
Yeah. You're probably standing there pretending to be an NPC to freak out other players.
That's what I'm constantly doing in that
That's
game.
Why you've given yourself a really realistic name. And you're sort of standing very still all the time.
Yeah, my absolute favorite thing to do in that game is to just find a really good wall that's opposite where a lot of players come out of and just lean against it, flicking a coin in the air. The number of players that I get coming up to me like... Why can't I get a quest from this guy? and then after they try a few times, I stop and then slowly walk away like an NPC would, like at that really deliberate, like, slow pace. So much fun. It's good fun. Look, let's talk a bit more about ESO later, because there's a lot more I want to talk about with that. But on the topic of Batman Arkham Knight, so we're not reviewing it tonight because obviously it only just came out this week. It's going to be a really tough game to review because... I'd say like 90% of the awesome stuff about that game is a story. There is some crazy balls to the wall story stuff in that just like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it might do more sort of interesting or dark things for the Batman mythos than The Dark Knight did.
Yeah, and I'm hoping so. And I mean, it's got a bit of... The titles previously have certainly set that precedent as well. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go to a really dark place again.
But it never feels forced, though, either. No. I think it feels like a really cool, natural progression, and it references and builds on a lot of stuff from the previous two. But, gee, it's a great game.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it probably is. It looks great.
Have you played any of the Arkham games?
Yeah, I played Arkham Knight. I played Arkham Origins. I've played a fair bit.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten around to this one. I mean, it's only just come out.
So. How dare you?
Give me a bloody break, man.
How dare you? Yeah. Where do you get off? Three screens. You have Gwent. You have Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah. You have Arkham Knight.
I've spent the last 2 weeks or so building a PC. Nice. And I've just finished.
Now
I don't play Arkham on it.
Well, yeah, this is anything I've learned of trawling the internet in the last week. I'll avoid that one.
It seems like there's a number of games these days you could probably avoid playing on the PC. Anything that's clearly made for console.
I built it so I could play Star Citizen, and that's the only reason I really wanted it.
Did you guys see that footage of The Witcher 3 being played on PCs on the lowest settings?
No.
That when you play it on the very lowest settings, it looks like a PS2 game. It's really shocking. It's just like, it's like gross, muddy, pixelated graphics. Geralt's face is just like an oil painting of just pink blotches. It's great.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to see how dynamic beard growth would look. It'd look like someone's just had an interesting time with his face. I'm not going to go into further detail on that.
I love it if it was just really cartoony and just like there's only three stages to it and just like super pixelated.
It's like
it's funny when you like you go back. I mean, PS2 feels like, oh man, that would have been ages ago. But you look at some games just on the last generation. Like, I was looking at Oblivion the other day. The faces in that look ridiculous. Like, everyone looks like a little chubby baby person. Like, all the faces are just these round, weird faces, and all the eyes are just huge. And there's, like, two voice actors in that game, so everyone has the same voice. Oh, hello there. Welcome to Citadel.
Oh, hello there. Yeah. Oh, welcome to Citadel.
It's like in Skyrim how, like, they had a good range of voice actors, I thought, in Skyrim, but there was that one guy who had that voice like this. Oh, okay. It was like, and every time you ran into that voice actor, it was like, oh, they shouldn't have, like, I mean,
I like
here's
to think
the most
that was actually the
voice.
Same character as well. Like, he's just one of those guys that's everywhere.
It's like the same in Witcher, actually. There's a merchant who goes, "Welcome."
Oh, yeah. I love that guy. Yeah.
"Would you like to buy something?" It's like, not from you. Jesus.
God, no. He's like,
"Where are you from, Munchkin Land?"
That's how
I represent the Lollipop Guild.
That's how the low settings Geralt ends up with that dynamic big growth face.
But imagine what that merchant would sound like in Polish.
Oh,
eh?
God.
Look, let's go to some music. This is a Crookman's Eyes from the Mega Man 5 soundtrack. We're going to come back and talk about a bit of news after this. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Well, 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 that was A Quick Man's Eyes from Mega Man 5. Shout out to Westy. That one was for you, buddy, who was a fan of that track. Look, let's get into some news, guys. And right off the bat, we mentioned it before, this whole PC version of Batman Arkham Knight thing. It's, I mean, the thing, I mean, right off the bat, if you haven't heard of it, right off the bat, that wasn't even intentional. So the PC version
Batman.
Is shocking.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, no, you got
it. There it is. There it is.
There we go. Coming at you. That's why they call me the joke maker. Hey, like
not the
character.
Joker. Joker. Like,
oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh God, I messed it up, guys. I really messed it up. Oh.
You're just like Riddle Man.
Yeah, you know all your favorites: Riddle Man, old Jokey, Scary Bunch, and the Fright Boys.
Dodo.
They're all there.
Good Lord.
No, so like if you haven't been following it, basically the PC version of Arkham Knight is shocking. It's got performance issues and frame rate stutters and just, I mean, you imagine something that could be wrong with that game. It's probably there.
Yeah.
It's probably there. And it's gotten so bad that they've actually had to now pull, well, they haven't had to, they've chosen to pull the game themselves, the PC version, from online stores until they fixed it.
In store too, EB have pulled it from their shelves.
I saw that. Now, is that EB's decision or have they requested that EB pull it from the shelves?
Not actually sure. This is just coming from friends on the inside, shall we say.
Yeah, friends who work at EB.
Yep. Shut up.
It sounded so much cooler before.
So as an aggressively casual gamer, as I would describe myself, Ben, how does this happen? How does a game so bad be released?
Well, the main issue seems to be that this is a port.
Yeah.
So this wasn't built from the ground up for PC. This was mainly built for consoles. And then there was a separate, now I don't have the name of the company here, but it was a separate sort of team.
Small team too, yeah.
Which is usually the case for these kind of games. And they worked on, you know, porting the console version over.
And are they just sitting back being like, oh, well, there's only 10 of us. Like, I think we did pretty bloody well, actually.
Or they're just sitting there waiting for someone to remember that they did it and it wasn't Rocksteady. Because they know Rocksteady's covered all the flack. And then every time someone knocks on the door, they're like, oh, jeez.
Oh, shit.
This is it. We're not here. Turn on the shredder. Who was a character from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Not Batman.
Yep, good job.
FYI.
Yep, great job.
But the thing that I think is really ballsy is that they chose to not put the game out there on the store themselves. They're going to lose a lot of money out of that. I mean, this is the week of the release. This is like the crucial crunch time for a game like this that's otherwise been getting really good reviews.
Yeah.
And I think it's really ballsy to just be like, look, we're going to take the loss for the sake of just trying to put to rest all of this nightmarish. I mean, when a game gets bad, when there's a bad reaction to the technical aspect of a game, that seems to be the worst PR thing that can happen to a game these days.
Oh, yeah.
Because all you see is no context, screenshots and videos of awful-looking games. And the people who haven't played the game, they see that and they just write it off straight away.
Absolutely. Like, and you just wonder, like, how the hell does it ship like that? Like, there's someone testing that, right?
Yeah.
Like, how does it happen? That's my question.
So what happens to that little... To the group that did the port? Like, are they... Is that...
Oh, Crucified. They're dead now.
Yeah. Is that the end of their...
12
little...
months working on Candy Crush.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure... I assume they're all fired.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because a lot of the time, I don't think... Even though they're the team that ported it, you never know what the conditions were for the porting. Like, for all you know, that was sort of the... Like, it might have been the last step in the process and they were just kind of given a lot of stuff late and they expected to do it.
Yeah.
What they thought would be a simple... Or it could be just because it's all next-gen, hardware, that there were sort of little things that certain devs weren't maybe used to working with. Like, who knows? Who knows? I'm sure there's been so much hype around this whole thing that I'm sure that a deeper story will come out over the next week or so.
They've been locked in a basement for the last 30 years and they think that's actually how games are supposed to look. They're really proud of their effort.
They've nailed it.
then they saw that PS2 footage of The Witcher 3 and went,
oh, that's it! Great!
God, look how far games have come.
That's not fair. They've got to just film it.
Although they're not the only ones who've been copping a lot of flack. There was a lot of controversy at Bungie after they announced their this new DLC for Destiny. Comes with a lot of strings and a lot of different versions, and people weren't exactly happy with it. So the main issue seems to be that up until last week, the collectors, there was no standalone DLC edition for the new DLC that was coming out. You had to buy it with the two existing DLC packs.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm so far behind on Destiny at the moment. I think I've played... I got to the moon.
Yeah.
And then that was just like...
That was it.
Done!
What I think is another ballsy move is that... what's his name? Luke Smith from Bungie, who was the developer who was doing all the talking and all the press for this Destiny stuff, has come out and just like... So first of all, they cleared everything up and they said, look, you know, we've heard what you said. We're going to make sure that there's a cheap version, an easily accessible version for... all this content for people who were early adopters. There's going to be exclusive DLC for people who had the other stuff. Like, they're really trying to go into damage mode. And then he said, look, I was an asshat, guys. I was a total asshat. He literally called himself an asshat. And was so just good. Like... Here's the quote. Reading my interview with Eurogamer and imagining... I imagine it came from some random developer of a game I love. And that random developer looks like a bit of an asshat. But the asshat was me, and those words have rightfully angered you. I'm sorry. I like it when devs just sort of just own it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean? Have a bit of humour about it as well.
And then there was this other, like, did you see that other thing about the Red Bull can DLC exclusive for Destiny?
I
did see a few things.
Tell me a story, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, you know, there's another exclusive part of that Taken King DLC that you can only get if you
buy a can of Red Bull.
No.
And if people are just like, why, Bungie? Why?
But I can just walk down George Street and someone will hand me a can of Red Bull at some point.
That's true,
why
it's
would
fun
I buy
with those
it?
Cars.
Yeah.
I think like when I see that marketing, I smell something fishy and it rhymes with Schmacktivision.
Yeah.
That is the hand of Activision at work there. With bloody, like, they're mad for all their Red Bull and their energy drink advertising and their little, you know, paddle pop sticks, whatever. They'll do it.
It's a funny idea to think that they're going after those markets of people who think that jumping out of the stratosphere is cool, which I think it is.
No, that was a pretty great video.
Hey, gamers, you like Red Bull?
Yeah.
Why don't you play some Destiny drinks, Red Bull, party on, guys? That's what every gamer is, basically.
Yeah.
It's real now... You know, with all this stuff happening, it's no wonder that people are getting really worked up. Did you hear about this guy in Korea who is fed up with Microsoft, and so he just filmed himself smashing his Xbox with a sledgehammer just in as a form of protest?
Wow.
Because apparently in Korea, not all...
They're super cheap.
But apparently they haven't been getting all of the latest games for Xbox One. There's only... So PS4 gets a lot of ports and current releases, but... When Arkham Knight came out on PS4 and not Xbox One, that was the final straw for him. He went out, filmed the video, put it online, and took photos of like before and of every step of the process. Here you go. This is great for radio, but as you guys can see, there is the photo. That is definitely a smashed Xbox.
Oh, good on him.
My favorite bit is at the very end of this of all his posts. He just says, "I'm fed up with it, and I will take my Xbox One to their headquarters and smash it right in front of the building." Unless they make more of an effort in localizing games. Like, Microsoft are going, oh no,
what?
Not an Xbox.
Oh god.
That means you'll have to buy another one.
I like to think that if it was in North Korea, the only game they actually have is like NBA 2K, because like that's all that Kim Jong-un would let them play.
And every character is Kim Jong-un.
Or just like any game with a character creator, but you have to play your game as Kim Jong-un. You could do that in Witcher, I'm sure. You could, like, you know, there's a bowl cut kind of head. You get like a big sort of, I don't know, it'll work. Now, this is my favorite story, I think. that I've heard, I'm going to say all year. There was, you see this story about the guy who tried to pay for the Fallout 4 Collector's Edition with bottle caps?
And didn't they let him?
Yes. Yeah, now they've accepted it. They've got... He paid for it with, I think the total was 2,240 bottle caps.
Oh, that's worth
And just sent
it.
Them yeah. to the office. He'd been collecting them for like 10 years or something crazy.
What a
and
hero.
They've just gone, okay, sure, we'll accept it.
God, I hope it's good and like he doesn't at some point playing his game think,
not worth it.
I wish I had all my bottle caps back.
Or like,
for when the actual apocalypse
He goes to trade it in for in-store bottle caps and then it becomes a whole messy thing of like, you know, man, this cost me 2,000 bottle caps. I'm only getting 400 bottle caps back.
Oh, wow.
Trade-in value is never worth it.
Mm-mm.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
Good on that bloke. The other thing about Fallout 4 is apparently the devs were considering to make it multiplayer.
Oh yeah.
See, look at your reaction.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's my jam at the moment.
I haven't
played a single player game in a long time, and just because it's about having a bit of laugh, games with your mates every day, a little bit every day.
The first thing that I thought of with multiplayer is that house constructing defending mode that they announced.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that would lend itself really well to multiplayer. If you had, if you went off and did your own quest, but you had this sort of shared social space or something.
Oh, no. See, I went the opposite direction. I'm thinking I want to be sitting out there on my metal constructed house, sitting on my little porch with my shotgun that shoots teddy bears going, get off my property. That's what I want.
Or if you had a shared house, you know, you're talking to each other over the game, and it's like, oh, Tegan, where are you? Oh, I'm off killing Deathclaws. And like, oh, but I'm off killing Deathclaws.
Oh,
Ben,
God.
Ben, where are you? I'm killing Deathclaws.
Oh,
who's at home?
That's so strange. Yeah, I left Teddy the Ghoul.
This is mine now.
I'm so lonely. I'm serious. Seriously, guys, playable ghouls. We
Pass
can make happen. It happen, okay? Mm. We want playable ghouls. We want playable ghouls.
I'm not gonna do that.
You can't get a chant going when you're in a room with two other people.
We don't agree with you.
But think about all the races you can have in Fallout 4. Ghouls, super mutants, rad roaches, mole rats, they're all there.
But like the basic premise of the game is that you're someone coming out of one of these vaults. Like, ain't no super.
A ghoul. A ghoul vault.
A ghoul. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But listen, no. Terry, you're 15 now. There's something we have to tell you about your parents. What?
They were outside.
Oh, dear. Well, look, speaking of Bethesda, let's go to a song. Come back after this. We're going to talk Elder Scrolls Online.
Woo!
This is Gotta Catch 'Em All by Power Glove.
Here we go.
And we're back. And we were dancing for the majority of that Pokemon song.
Oh, yeah.
I was bopping along.
That was from Power Glove, who I was just telling you guys also did the Blood Dragon soundtrack, which is an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah.
Haven't heard it, listen to it. Haven't played the game, play it. What are you doing, guys? You can listen to us and play some bloody games.
Truth.
Eh?
Yep.
Get some Rex Power Cult happening.
Yeah.
God, that was a great game.
That was a great game. I'm surprised they haven't announced a new one, to be honest.
Oh, they will.
I mean, it's probably more important to get 17 Assassin's Creed games under their belt before they do a sequel to a really highly acclaimed and well-received game.
But Ben, what was happening in the 60s with the Templars and the Assassins?
Nobody knows.
Actually, the 60s,
that's
the 60s
era
was
I
pretty
see,
good.
Actually.
They were all pretty chilled out in the 60s. They were sort of like, oh, man. Let's just.
That was when the verbal debate started happening. It's like, hey man, you know, that's like your opinion or whatever.
No, you find out it was the Manson family. Those.
Yeah, but are they the Templars or the Assassins?
Who knows? Yeah. You'll find out.
Who was Thatcher? That's what I want to know.
Deary me, Elder Scrolls Online. We talked a little bit about it at the top of the show. I've been having a good old time with this game. It's bit by bit, step by step. It's slowly ruining my life.
Great.
This game will ruin your life. It's five stars.
I mean, that's the hallmark of a good MMO, am I right?
Yeah. I have questions. I have many questions.
Okay. Well, shoot. Okay. Let's get the ball rolling.
So as someone who is an adult and therefore doesn't have internet, so hasn't played it yet, but has played all the other games, I just want to know, top of the list is, can I join the Dark Brotherhood? That's what I need to know.
Interestingly, not at this stage, but it's something they've been talking about, and we don't know how they're going to implement it.
And there's lots of little hints, I think, that they've been leaving throughout
the
game.
Yeah.
That, like, people assume they're not, like, overtly about the Dark Brotherhood, but they're, like, it's, like, caves set up with blood drawings and things that are very...
I just want to know, will I be able to murder Carlo and Bardia? That's where I was leading with. Well, yeah, that's what I was leading up to.
That's what we all want
to do. Deep down. You have to be in the PvP area to do that sort of thing, I think.
Yes and no. I don't play a criminal character, but I also but I do think that if you get a high enough notoriety, it's like people can attack you. It's sort of something switches on and you get a little red mark next to you and everyone just goes for it.
Yeah.
And
nice.
And attacks you.
And if you're from a different pact, I assume, that, like a different alliance.
Bloody
I think
racism.
They're in the same alliance, because they're the, like, you know, you see it a lot in town, just someone just gunning it and then getting hacked to death by like guards and other players. And I think that can happen. Like it's one of the recent things they added, the justice system, because when it first came out, there were a lot of complaints that you couldn't do a lot of the stuff like stealing and pickpocketing that people love to do in those games. And so they were like, okay,
it's
we'll
the only way
in.
To find recipes to cook things.
It's true.
Stealing. I just don't know why I want to cook things so bad. I don't do anything for you. Like, there's like, they give you some stamina, but like, God, it feels good to be able to roast up a chicken.
But in real life, like, Simon, can you just like get dinner? No, I'm cooking.
Would not even know where to start.
So I'm addicted to crafting. I love crafting because I know it, like, The worst part was when I realized I'd put more work into it than anyone else. And Bardia was like, I just really want... And you were there too, so you're like, I really want a good hood. A good hood. And I was like, Wait. I can make you a hood. I've got all this leather. I've just been sitting around. I can make you a hood. And when it made a hood, and I was like, my God, I've got a purpose in this game.
Yeah. I'm still rocking
the
that hood.
Hood maker.
Yeah.
You like that hood?
That's
hood. I can make more hoods now.
I would like some more hoods.
I can make sturdier hoods, stronger hoods, good quality hoods.
I want a medium armor.
Hoods. We got all the hoods you need.
Do you like hoods? Come on down to Ben's Hood Emporium.
This is what I should be doing, because this is the other great thing about Elder Scrolls Online. It has just open chat. You know, you can just chat with random people. Mm. So instead of just doing that NPC act I was doing before, I could literally just stand in the market and be like, I've got hoods. You want a covered face? Well, come to Ben's hood store. He'll hood you right up. They'll be good. Hoods for you.
Yeah, and then some 15-year-old comes and goes, yeah, you faggot.
And I'll be like, whoa, come on, man. I'm just a hood merchant.
I'm just trying to get along in my life, selling me some hoods.
It is a shame. I mean, that's the messy reality of these shared worlds that, you know, you think... I mean, we get so fired up about all the cool, funny, creative things we can do. We had all these ideas. We wanted to take people on tours of Tamriel. You know, we had our idea of being a traveling band. Each of us play a different instrument. One person does, like, the fire juggling. And then we'll just go from town to town, you know, in a line and perform.
Is there an emotion that you can make your character put their hand out for money?
There is a begging one. I think you might have to be on your knees and sort of like begging, which is probably a bit melodramatic when you've got a bad emotion.
Yeah,
but
that's not how Red Hot Chili Peppers got to be.
Yeah, there's no crowdfunder mode either. It does. It undercuts that to me, though, when the moment you start doing something like that, someone's like, oh, dickhead. It's like, oh, that's right.
There it is.
That's right. Most people are awful. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's the old kicker of the MMO, isn't it? It's like...
the other people aspect.
Look at this beautiful world with all these amazing characters, and then there's just somebody who's got like a flaming sword coming along killing everyone. It's just like,
yeah. Mm. And then dancing. Just a lot of dancing.
Why do I
know? The other thing about Elder Scrolls Online, and I think it doesn't really sink in with you until you start traveling, but this world is huge.
Mm.
And I think we made the mistake of... So we're Ebonheart Pact, which is like the Nords, Dark Elves, and Argonians. And you start in Morrowind, which I remember fondly from the game.
Morrowind.
The titular game.
But it looks, starting here, it just looks really lame.
Oh.
It does,
just,
yeah.
Not graphically, it just feels really bland.
Yeah.
And there's like, I think there's three realms of Morrowind, and it's as soon as you leave the first little Morrowind realm, it instantly looks better.
Yeah.
There's a second area that has like cool Argonian settlements and like paddocks and huge fortresses, and you're like, oh, hey, this is cool. And then the third area is like a forest with trees and zombies everywhere, and you're like, hey, this is cool. And then
there's an island you can go to, which is really cool as well.
Sort of like, and little, Skyrim, like, we did a huge trek all the way north just to see if we could find Skyrim, which we did.
Yeah.
And of course, it was like level 40, so we just were running for our lives from saber cats, going, we weren't prepared for this.
We just want to make our music.
Yeah. But it was awesome. And then, of course, when you get to Skyrim, because like no one, this in the first week the game had come out, no one was level 40 yet. So there was like four people in Skyrim. And so we sort of like, it was amazing because you got this real sense of just how broad this world is. It's like, and you got that idea of that shared world, because you're like, wow, this is just full of people. Like, this is an unexplored region of a large virtual world. And ever since that, I've kind of like, it's kept me going, because I feel like I genuinely just want to see more of the world.
Yeah.
And just, you know, all those walls that need leaning on and coins that need flipping.
it's definitely a really good platform to sort of make your own fun in, I'm sure. But I don't think it's as good as like Grand Theft Auto's multiplayer.
No.
I don't know. I find the world a little bit... I find myself running up to someone, giving out a quest, and just bashing through the dialogue just to get the objective marker to tell me where I'm going. And I just find myself just going from objective marker to objective marker. And it's not that... The story is not... It's boring, and it's just, I don't know. I think it's MMOs I'm really railing against, not really this game, but
yeah. I am curious to see what they add to it, because they've hinted for a while this Dark Brotherhood thing, and at E3 they just had a trailer for the console version, and at the end of it was just an image of a black handprint, and it said, "We know" at the bottom.
Oh, then that's Dark Brotherhood.
Definitely,
Dark Brotherhood. But it makes me think, like, "We know" makes me think there might be some kind of retroactive quest, like maybe... You get an invitation when you the first time you do kill another player or something. Like, if you do murder someone, so you have to murder another player to join the Dark Brotherhood. Imagine how cool that would be.
That would be cool.
So it comes out, like, say it comes out 3 months from now. We're already, like, you know, level 30 or whatever. We've got our guild, we've got our, you know, our pact, and then it's sort of like, I could kill another person and join this exclusive club. Should I turn on my friends?
I would really like the mechanic of the Dark Brotherhood maybe not being available to everyone.
Imagine if it's a secret no one knows how to get into it.
A genuine secret in the world and a well kept. I mean, I guess that doesn't.
It would hit Reddit immediately.
Yeah, exactly. But
if there was some sort of variable, like
some way to mix it up, so
there was one person you had to kill, but he was always in a different location or something.
True. Yeah, that'd be great.
A traveling merchant. Hello. It's like would you like to buy my hoods?
Oh God! What are you doing?
Get him! Why does this always happen to me? Look, let's leave that there. Let's play some more music. Let's come back. We're gonna talk Lego Jurassic World, and of course, to celebrate that, this is the Jurassic World theme. If you're a Jurassic Park fan, you'll probably get a little bit teary.
I know I will.
I know Tegan will. I know you will.
Because she's a woman.
You got teary during the movie. I knew this would hit you in all the feel spots. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Oh, dear. Those emotions. Sam Neill, be my spirit animal. What a great film.
Sam Neill was in the recent FIFA movie.
What?
Yeah.
What?
FIFA commissioned a movie and spent something like 25...
Did he play Sepp Blatter?
Tim
By the Roth... way, Big Head Motors, we're getting a bit sporty now.
Yeah, Tim Roth was in it as well.
Tim Roth wasn't in.
No, this is Jurassic... a great story. Listen to this. They commissioned... It was like some huge amount of money they spent on it, then released it in America to limited cinemas and made $900 on the opening weekend.
Oh my God.
Legitimately $900.
Wow. That's
beautiful. That's like, you could buy a PS4 and a few games with that. A few games, a few laughs
with mates.
Because you'll need something to cheer you up after you blew all that money on a FIFA film.
Yeah. I think that was the last thing FIFA were worrying about.
Now, Jurassic World is probably the opposite of that in terms of financial success. They've been doing gangbusters. And, of course, this game, Lego Jurassic World, is tied in with that. Now, Lego games, you know, at this point, if you like them, you're on board with every Lego game. If you don't, you don't care. So if you don't care about Lego Jurassic World at all, I would just please ask you not to stop listening. Because I promise that not everyone in this room likes them either. Okay? Tegan, you did your review of this for Geek Bomb.
I did, yes.
And so... Yeah. I guess, give us an overall impression before we get into the nitty-gritty of what makes this game.
Great.
So
well, look, I know you guys are going to be surprised, but yeah, so you play through all four of those movies, much like any other Lego game. You play through all. yeah, so that, I mean, there's some cool features. You can either, at the beginning, choose to start from the original Jurassic Park, or you can jump straight into New Jurassic World, if you so choose. Weird thing is...
Who would ever choose Jurassic World over the original
Jurassic
Park?
No one would. Weird thing is you can't jump into two or three, though, without going through the original Jurassic Park first. So that was interesting. So I don't know why. But you can jump straight to four. I don't know. So that was interesting.
That's probably, I'm imagining it's a PR thing. Like maybe they have
trying to tie into the movie, I would say, for sure.
I don't think I would ever want to jump to two or three first.
Maybe they just took an educated guess.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some cool features in it. I really liked that you could play as the dinosaurs. That was lovely. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that was great. Just, you know, smashing your way through the levels. That was fantastic, actually. We got a shirtless Jeff Goldblum. Who doesn't want that?
I know I do.
Which is great. And actually, I think they really exaggerated him a lot. Like, because we've got to admit, we all love Jurassic Park here, but he really did overact his role in that, and they really play on
what
that.
What
do
you mean,
as a Lego character? Yeah.
And yeah, they really take the piss there, which is great. But again, like, I know in all Lego games, they always have this huge amount of characters that you can unlock, but it seemed like they took this to the next level. Like, I'm talking at, you know, near the beginning of Jurassic Park, how there's that annoying little kid at the dig site, how there ended up being that theory that maybe he was Chris Pratt growing up.
Yeah.
You can unlock him.
Turkey kid.
I don't know why we want to play as him, but you can play as him.
I reckon when you go back and watch that movie, look at that kid. I reckon he looks like a little chubby Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, he does. totally.
I don't know if it's him. I just reckon it looks like him.
Yeah.
The age probably works.
I guess it's not a huge wealth of characters in the Jurassic Park world.
It is a weird thing for them to...
Star Wars and the other Jurassic... the other Lego.
And also, like,
games.
50 of them would just be, like... a different face in a Jurassic Park uniform.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, yeah.
Like a safari suit, different hairpiece.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like you said, if you've got kids or if you're into those games yourself, it's another one, and you'll love it. You know, there's some fun aspects to it. If you want to be able to dive into some dino poo, you can do that, which is great. If you want to be able to do a little bit of an archaeological dig moment, you can do that too. So that was fun.
I think like the problem I have with those games is that not the fact that they're the same game because. I mean, the novelty, I think, is still really there, and they have made changes in the last few years here and there that I liked. I mean, bringing voice acting definitely changed, or using the actual dialogue from the movies.
That was weird in this game, though, like, because they would have that in the cutscenes, and then it was very noticeable, like, when you're actually playing the game, that it's just a completely different voice actor, so that was interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't have a good Goldblum fill-in?
They did not, no.
You mean Lego can't splash out to get Goldblum?
Yeah.
God, that's a...
See, I thought that was really done quite well in the Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
Like, every little detail, every time... Frodo got hurt, he made that noise that he makes when he gets stabbed in Fellowship of the Ring. Like, they took all the sound bites from other stuff and, like, so it's a shame if that sort of level of detail isn't there in
I suppose
not everyone falls over.
That's right.
Gets injured.
Exactly.
Stabbed
right.
With a sword.
The only thing I really had a bit of a problem with is the actual, like, getting between the different worlds, like, getting to the different levels, like, on the islands was a little bit grindy. Like, it's already feels so grindy, especially if you're a completionist who wants to smash every single goddamn brick.
Yeah.
And there's so much of that. And
have they improved that? I mean, like, my biggest problem... I'm a total completionist.
Yeah.
And... the ones that I really tried the hardest on were, because I'm a superhero nut, was, you know, the Batman ones and the Marvel ones. But like for a game that's all about completionism, they don't make it easy. They put all these annoying little things, like every time you get a gold brick, you have to stand there for like 10 seconds while it auto-saves and the little logo comes up and it's like... Duh, duh, duh.
Yeah.
It's sort of like... it's about co-op, but you don't both get achievement progress.
Yes, yeah. No, like, I felt like this
have they
time
fixed any of those things at all?
Not really. Like, I felt about the same. And as I was saying, like, going between those different levels, it feels even, you know, more so. Like, you're doing even more again, so.
It's a real bummer, because they could keep their main formula in there if they just tweak a few things.
Mm.
The other thing, online multiplayer. They should have online multiplayer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, when you have a big open world to explore, I don't know why. Like, it just looks crap in split screen.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work. But, I mean, as what it's supposed to be, it's fine. Mm. You know, it's fun. It's humorous. But, yeah, just don't go into it as a completionist. Don't do that to yourself, Ben. Don't do it.
But the thing is, there's another Lego game coming out this year, the Avengers one, and I probably will get probably will do that to myself.
Well, they
and they won't
do.
Change these things, and I'll be just as annoyed.
What they should do is, like, combine those two things. I mean, there's always a Lego game coming out. Get Assassin's Creed Lego. Just pull those two things together. Bring those two worlds together.
Finally. Finally.
How
Lego,
far away is
next
the
year is
Creed
Lego
movie?
Call of Duty. The Assassin's Creed movie is next year, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come.
And then every subsequent year.
I've talked about this on the show before. I'm just so excited for that so they can explain to me what the fuck those games are all about.
That said, I mean, last week, Bader and I got to play Syndicate, and I'm interested in that game. I wasn't before. I was so down in that game after Unity, and just from playing it, it got me interested in it again. So
I realized the other day, I've played every Assassin's Creed game and not finished one of them.
Nice.
But like gotten like a good 3/4 of the way in, and it's been like, I know what's going to happen. It's like watching the Titanic, you know how it's going to end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess overall, you know, you would recommend this game, but to a specific audience?
Yeah, so the people, if you already know you're into those games or, like, you know, you've got kids, get on it, you're going to love it. If you already weren't a fan of the franchise, this will not change your mind.
And if you're a completionist, absolutely play this game.
Yep.
You'll have a whale of a time. You'll love the voice acting. That's what I took from this.
And you will go into a rage blackout.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But you can soothe yourself by just listening to hours and hours of Jeff Goldblum laughing on YouTube. Which does the trick. Let's go to some messages and we'll come back and wrap this bad boy up on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Welcome back, and just in case you're wondering, the Tatters Guild is also something you can join in Elder Scrolls Online, I think.
You can tat, you can braid, you yep. can...
Because you've mentioned this, I've got to leave that promo in the podcast now, too.
Yes,
so
you do.
Nice little regional ad for all you international listeners. that's another show. Tegan and Simon, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
people
man.
Can follow Geek Bomb and everything on Facebook and Twitter.
Absolutely, just at Geek Bomb, you will find us.
Excellent.
And people can just see me walking down the street.
Or you can see Simon at his new Tatters Guild Tit for Tat.
Oh, look.
They've got a really interesting policy that I can't tell you about on air.
I was amazed that we got that name registered.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you've been shut down yet, to be honest. You can follow us, Big Head Mode, 2RRR, Facebook and Twitter, and the website, bighead.com.au, and YouTube. We've got a bunch of awesome sketches up there at the moment, a new one set to go up next week. And the website is where you can get tickets for the next bonus stage as well. They went on sale today, July 22nd, is that show. Until then, we're going to play you out with a little song I like to call Shadow Man from Mega Man 3. By the 1UPS. Up next is Matt Curley's Accidentally Curly's Treat. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.